3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal stories.
Exfabula!
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And we're back with Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend from Milwaukee Public Radio, and we're glad to have you all along with us. I'm Rachel Owens, joined once again by Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney. Welcome back.
Hello again. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thanks. How about yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. Pretty ramped up for this weekend and everything that entails with it.
Yeah, it's been quite a week, and it really is one that's going to go down in history.
Yes, it is, no matter where you're located.
Yeah, and as we speak, many groups across the nation are taking to the streets to march in solidarity and to support various causes that they are very passionate about. Whatever one's viewpoint may be, one thing that can unite us all is that we all have something that we believe in, something that we would fight for.
Exactly, exactly. And today's theme is based on unity and the American dream as a whole. So today for our radio show, we're going to look back on inspiring stories from immigrant Americans that examine the themes of both organizing around a cause and achieving our goals. So we're going to start out the show today with our first teller. His name is Brian Chu, and he is an Exfabula Fellow from Season 7. And then we're going to follow that with a story from Cesar Torres, who participated in Season 7 Exfabula Puente Project. So let's just jump right into the stories. Here is Brian Chu, who is one of our Exfabula Fellows from Season 7, when he told a story at our Risking It Story Slam.
So it was 1998, I think. I was a graduate student at the Irvine campus of the University of California. A bunch of us teaching assistants were trying to form a labor union. I think Irvine was the only campus among the eight that wasn't organized. You know, other campuses like UC Berkeley, UCLA, have already decided to go on strike. So Irvine had a choice. Our campus, we either wait out a year or we risk it and we go zero to strike in 1 year, which has never been done before. But you know, what the hell. We also decided to organize across departments. So for example, I was in electrical engineering, and then they wanted me to organize comparative literature. I don't know anybody in comparative literature. I don't know their culture. But the only thing I've heard is that they study Marxist theory over there. So I thought, maybe this is good. You know, I'll give it a shot. You know how bad can it be? So 2 weeks into my organizing for the strike, I went to office hours of a teaching assistant in Comp Lit. And I went through the spiel and the usual stuff about the union, the necessity for a strike, for recognition. And then everything seems positive. She seemed pretty receptive. She said believes in the goals of the union. She believes that this is going on strike is the most powerful thing we can do to get into a contract. So I thought, this is good, you know. So I popped the question, you know, can we count on you to vote yes on the strike? And then she blew up, you know. I did my undergrad in UC Berkeley. That's a radical campus. This is not. And then she also went out and saying, our parent union is the UAW, United Automobile Workers. We're PhD students, for God's sake, you know. What the hell, you know. And then things got really weird. She proceeded to give me like an involuntary English lesson. When the threshold for the strike vote is reached, that's a passive voice. Don't use that. Use the active voice. Say something like, when we've reached the threshold. And don't use threshold. You know, it's not precise. Use precipice or something. So 20 minutes later, you know, and English is my third language, by the way, third of five, she finished by saying, if you've been a competent organizer, I would have voted yes. So I got out of there. I was already in tears. I was this 10-year-old kid again, you know, sitting in the back of my parents' restaurant. I just arrived in the United States. I didn't speak a word of English. I was watching, remembering somebody, some customer berating my parents about the service or whatever. And we're supposed to be on the same side. We're supposed to be the same rank. You know, we're supposed to be teaching assistants. We're supposed to be equals. So I knew that I got hit. You know, it hurts. And I didn't really know where I got hit. You know, like, was it because I'm an engineering major? Is it because I'm Asian? Was it because I grew up in a border town and I grew up speaking Spanglish? Or was it because maybe I was too direct, too blue collar, you know? But the worst thing about all of this is that you'll never know what hit you. So I went to my mentor. He's actually the first Wisconsinite I ever met in my life. He grew up in a blue-collar family in Tulsa. So at least he had some experience with the classism when he first entered the graduate school. And he told me that, look, you know, disconnect between speech and action is something that we're not used to. But you have to get used to it because this is graduate school. You're in the middle class now. You know, welcome to the middle class. He also said that part of the reason why he wanted us to organize across departments is because he wanted us to take that leap. He wanted us to get us out of our comfort zone so we can actually talk to people who are different from us. Because at the end, the goal of organizing is never about talking, you know, preaching to the choir. It's about talking with strangers, taking risks. Every conversation you take, what I'm doing right now, you're taking risks. This is the experience and also the lesson or the advice that I needed to become an effective organizer. And we were effective. At the end, our team organized the Irvine campus in record time. We signed up 1,000 people in 8 weeks. We went out to the strike. On the fourth day of an open-ended strike, the California State Legislature stepped in and changed labor law on our behalf. They recognized the union. We negotiated the contract. By the time I graduated, I was vice president of the union statewide. I was organizing, I think, 5 out of the 8 campuses. And today, with 15,000 members, UAW Local 2865 is the biggest TA union in the world.
And that was Brian Chu's story that he told not too long ago at our Risking It Story Slam in September.
Wow, what a nice happy ending. I love to hear those positive stories. Did he ever persevere, too? And when you think, you know, English isn't someone's first language, I think it can be so easy for people to underestimate their intelligence. But here he is saying that English is 3 of 5 of his languages, and he's an electrical engineer. So it's so great to hear such a happy ending to that story.
It really is, yes. So let's roll right into our next story. That was told by Cesar Torres at the Puente Project, where the theme was American Dream. And please note that the Puente Project was a bilingual story slam. And at all of our bilingual story slams, we use a professional interpreter so the teller can focus on telling the story in one language and then interpret back to a different language. In this special case, though, Cesar Torres told the story in his native language and interpreted it statement by statement. So he's going back and forth.
The brain space for that. I can't.
I know, like it's not difficult enough to get on stage and talk in front of someone. Like he's going to do it in 2 languages and go back and forth. So definitely pressing himself even further.
Indeed, indeed. So here is Mr. Cesar Torres with his story of his American dream.
I got a confession. I am an immigrant. Yo soy un inmigrante. Y yo me siento muy orgulloso de lo que soy. I am very proud of what I am. Because I think I'm not only just living in this country, which is a beautiful country. And I felt so welcome. And at the same time, I felt so unwelcome when I came to this country. En un principio, yo no me sentía muy bienvenido aquí también. Pero al mismo tiempo, yo no me sentía bienvenido. Son las dos caras de la moneda que uno siente cuando uno llega a este país. It's like the two faces that you see here in the United States. You feel welcome and unwelcome. Anyway, I am originally from Peru. Yo soy de Peru. So my story is this. I moved here when I was 23, and I came for better opportunities. Yo me mudé aquí a Estados Unidos para mejores oportunidades de trabajo, de educación. So when I moved to the United States, I had to find a job. And I remember it wasn't easy. It was kind of hard because you have to like find like a factory job, and then you have to like find a second job, because it was just the fact that, you know, it's kind of hard to find a job when your English is kind of broken. So cuando me mudé acá a Estados Unidos, para mí fue un poco difícil porque mi inglés no era muy bueno. Yo tenía que buscar un trabajo, me busqué un trabajo en una factoría y mi segundo trabajo fue en un restaurante. Pero lo bueno de haber trabajado en un restaurante era que así yo aprendía a hablar mejor mi inglés. When I started working in a restaurant, I had to speak English with people, and that was like a school for me. I built up my vocabulary. Trabajando en un restaurante me ayudó bastante a aprender mi inglés. La segunda parte de mi sueño americano fue ir a estudiar. Like my second part was like I had to go to school. So I started going to school, I had to work and I had to go to school. Yo me puse a trabajar y me puse a estudiar. it might sound like a cliche, but my American dream, I am lucky about that. It's that I found jobs, and then I went to school. I got married, I got my wife, and I got my kid. That's part of my American dream. Cuando yo llegué a Estados Unidos, mi sueño americano era tener mi familia. Y mi familia consistía en tener un trabajo, estudiar, tener mi esposa, y ahora tengo mi hija. So that's how I fulfilled my American dream. I mean, it took me like about, what, maybe like 16 years to build it. And I am so proud of what I have done. Thank you. Me tomó 16 años en construir lo que yo quería. Y me siento bastante orgulloso de lo que yo tengo. Y me siento muy feliz con lo que tengo. I really don't take for granted what I have here. I mean, you all, whoever are Americans or even just living here in the United States, you are so lucky for what you have. Amazing the opportunities that we have in this country. It's such an amazing place to live. Aquí en Estados Unidos, me parece que es un país extraordinario. Acá puedes construir lo que tú quieres si es que lo quieres hacer. Y muchas gracias por todo. Well, thank you so much.
And that was Cesar Torres's American dream story that he told at the Puente Project, which was a bilingual story slam.
And that's such a cool way to hear a story, I think, because it's kind of like having subtitles on your TV. Mm-hmm. I've studied Spanish. I can't really speak it well, but I can understand some of it. So I really enjoyed the back and forth and felt like maybe that was a better way of me understanding how his own mind works, having to go back and forth all the time and how exhausting that can
be. Definitely. And at that particular story slam, the waves of recognition. When somebody would speak something in one language and then the laughter would ensue and then the other language, the other half of the audience would laugh. It was just this really amazing like wave of connection that kept happening over and over again in those particular instance. I would like to mention also, we did have an American Sign Language interpreter once for somebody who was hearing impaired at one of our story slams, which was really amazing as well. So we would always love to open the door to any particular language or culture that would like to tell their story, because we are here and we will make it happen. So if anybody is interested in doing so, they can contact us at exfabula.org. We'll be happy to get your story on stage.
That's fantastic. And I haven't heard of that anywhere else, the bilingual storytelling or extending that kind of a service to storytellers.
It's necessary because everybody has a story. And to circle back to this theme, it's all about unity and the American dream. And the only way to really get there is to keep talking and listening to each other.
Yeah, again, it's such an important week in our nation's history. So it's so great to hear firsthand stories from members of our own community. And again, success and people getting through on the other side.
Indeed. We have a couple of things coming up. Obviously, we're going to be finishing out the rest of our season with story slams on the monthly basis. But we have a special New Year's Spectacular that happens, and that's next weekend. The theme is Our Little Secret, and this is a special non-competitive curated event with 10-minute stories chosen on the theme of Our Little Secret. There's going to be fantastic tellers there, including an ex-Fabula favorite, Ames McGinnis, who's told multiple stories on our stage, won audience favorites, all that jazz. He's fantastic, as well as Alexis and Antoine Carter, too. So they're a little bit newer. They're going to blow everybody away as well. I mean, it's just going to be a fantastic event. And I recommend everyone go run to exfabula.org. Go get your tickets for that event. Any story slams, memberships, we're still offering those. Yeah, so exfabula.org. That's where it's at.
Great again to have you in the studio. Thank you so much, Leah.
Thanks, Rachel. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. See you next week.
Okay.